Okay, well, I'm Hillary, and...
And I'm Chris.
And we are Sebo, and we're here talking with Annie from Melting Pot, and we hope that you're going to listen to Melting Pot all the time.
Yeah, because it seems like a really good place to find out about the diverse cultural information that's happening, of things that are happening in Marseille.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dave James. From the Lords of Altamont. I'm listening to Magic Bud with Ali from Marseille.
That's good?
Yes, call me your drummer.
Okay.
Hi, this is Tom Baron von Ludwig Sullivan of the Lords of Altamont, and you are listening to The Melting Pot.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
Yeah?
What's your name?
My name is Annie.
I'm sorry?
My name is Annie. Annie.
Okay. My ears are ringing. It's so it's hard to hear right now.
Yes. Yeah. You play very loud.
Yeah. Every night.
Guten Tag, bonjour, welcome to Melting Pot, Sound and Colors from the Planet Marseille. Today, September 21st, I propose to you the second part of Frank Meyer's interview. Frank Meyer is singer, guitarist and leader from the Streetwalking Cheetahs, a rock band based in Los Angeles, California. I saw Frank Meyer the first time in Marseille with his band in 2002. It was really a great concert. But sadly, I heard a few months later, in the same year, the band broke up. But from time to time, I checked their website, and suddenly last year, I saw they did a show for their 10 years anniversary, and it gave me the idea to do an interview with Frank. After that, he sent me a lot of CD, DVD, vinyl from their last production. And like that, for the first time, I listened to Gainesville, their last studio album. It was a big surprise because each song is totally different from the others. You already can listen to Strangled by Love, the first song I play in this show, and right now, Good Morning is really different. I asked Frank what is happening in this album. He answered, I can tell you the story, Gainesville story, for you and for your Melting Pot listener.
Good good morning.
Okay. Yes. The basically, Gainesville is an album that we recorded right when the band was breaking up in 2002 that sort of documents why we were breaking up. We were touring at that point for almost 8 years straight. So as soon as we started the band, we hit the road and started playing, and we were playing pretty constantly for a long time. And the original lineup of the band was myself and Art Jackson and Dino Everett, are the three guys, Dino Everett on bass, are the three guys that formed the band. And we had played for about 5 years straight, just doing gigs and making records and touring. And Dino, our bass player, was going through some unhappy times at that time, just had some personal stuff going on. We were all big drinkers, but at the time he was really starting to drink a lot more than the rest of us, and it started to affect his playing, and it started to affect just being around him. It became more difficult. He and I especially were butting heads a lot and just not really able to see eye to eye on anything. And after one particularly long, grueling tour, we decided we just couldn't continue on with Dino on bass. So Art and I made the decision that we were going to have to cut him loose, and we brought in a friend of ours to substitute on bass. And we had so many gigs booked at that point, we'd never even really took a break or even thought much about it. We just kind of replaced Dino and kept moving on. And sadly for us, the guy we replaced him with turned out to be even worse than Dino in terms of having his own emotional problems and also his own addictions, and he was fighting his own problems. But one of them was that he was chemically imbalanced. He was a manic depressive, and he needed to be on this medication in order for him to sort of be able to see straight and fly right and kind of not be going insane. So we replaced the alcoholic with an insane person who also had his own issues with drugs and alcohol. And we had done some short tours with him, and none of it was really a problem. But then we did a really long tour when we put out the Waiting for the Death of My Generation album. And we toured for a few months straight. And it was really on that tour that we started getting real insight into our new bass players, you know, a whole array of problems. And as we were going along on that tour, he just started getting more and more crazy. And he was, like, talking to himself, and he was just sort of disappearing for a long time, and you know, just all this very suspicious behavior that got us kind of worried for him. And we had a gig in Gainesville, Florida, where everything kind of came to a head, came to a boil. He was falling off the stage all the time, and he fell off the stage of this gig after I'd kind of warned him to get his shit together. And then, you know, he was hammered, drunk, and really just being kind of ridiculous. And so I approached him after the show in the parking lot and said, well, you know, what's going on, man? You're freaking out here, and you're playing really badly, and you're drinking too much, and you got to mellow out. And he kind of lashed out at me and was very angry and felt like I was accusing him of this stuff that he didn't, you know, feel it was justified. And we got in this big argument. And then we went home to the hotel. And the long story short is we did not know it at this point, but he had been suicidal at several points in his life. And I guess when he was he had stopped taking his medication, he was drinking a lot and doing some drugs, and just he had a real bad sort of relapse into this very dangerous behavior. And he locked himself in the bathroom, and we had to kick open the door, and we found that he had been trying to slit his wrists, and, you know, it was really bad. And then he kind of escaped us, and he ran out into the street, and he's, like, naked, running around the street. We're trying to grab the guy, and we end up calling the cops, and the police basically said, well, we can't do anything unless he breaks the law, so you want to check him into you know, like a halfway house, like an insane asylum, basically. But it's sort of an in between. You don't just go right into an insane asylum. You go to like a halfway house where they sort of evaluate you. So we took him to one of those places, like a hospital in Gainesville, and they essentially told us that if we committed him, they had to keep him there for a minimum of 3 days. And at that point, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and we're out in the middle of Gainesville, and we couldn't really, and we're on tour, so we still had like 2 more weeks on the tour, and we couldn't really afford to just stay in Gainesville for 3 days while he got dealt with. So we took all of our tour money and bought him a plane ticket and flew him home, canceled the rest of the tour, and drove back from Gainesville to L.A. in like 3 days. And then we got back and kind of had to deal with this all-new set of bass player problems. And so we tried to work stuff out with him and try to get him some help, and he did a few more with us, but he just wasn't in any shape to really continue on at that point. So we replaced him with Tony Fate from the Bell Rays, who was actually not in the Bell Rays at that point. At one point around this time, he's the guitar player of the Bell Rays, and he'd had a little falling out with them, and he had left the band for about 6 months, and for that 6 months he played bass with us. So that's sort of the background story. And then as we had continued on, Art and I, you know, plowing ahead with the band, we started writing a few songs about all that stuff that had gone down with our bass player and Gainesville and all the stuff that happened and a lot of stuff that we learned about him and his personal life along the way. And we wrote a few songs about it. I think Good Morning was the first one we wrote. And that song was about me calling his girlfriend from Gainesville to say that, you know, he'd lost his mind, essentially, and that we had to lock him up. And, you know, I was calling her early in the morning, at like 5 in the morning, so that's why it's called Good Morning.
Good morning, did I wake you? Didn't want to have to call you, but I had nowhere to turn. Good morning, yes, it's early.
We wrote the album in three acts, sort of like a play. And so it opens when we're in Gainesville and our friend has just had this traumatic episode and I'm having to call his girlfriend to tell her, hey, we got to send your boyfriend home. And that's Good Morning. And then you can actually hear the sound of a tape rewinding, and that sort of signifies going back in time. Because then we're flashing back. You can almost picture this like a movie or a play. We set the stage with Good Morning, but then we flash back, and now we're sort of telling the backstory to our friend's life. So we're flashing back to his childhood, and Strangled by Love is about him and his parents and how they kind of smothered him with love and affection to the point where he felt almost sort of strangled by it. A lot of times when we were on the road, he would tell us all these stories about his childhood and stuff, and so we worked a few of those into the lyrics. So Strangled by Love, When God and the Devil Agree, are both his childhood and sort of explaining how the events that led him to be the kind of person that he later became. Geek Like Me is him in high school. You know, he's now kind of this alienated geek in high school. And Geek Like Me is sort of that age of his childhood. And then at this point, it starts to skip around a little bit, only because we originally wrote the album so that every song followed the story structure. But then once we'd recorded the whole album, we also felt like, well, you know, let's just put the songs in the best order, you know, sonically, because not everyone's going to get the story part of it. And, you know, let's just make sure the album rocks when you listen to it and, you know, the song order works sonically. So basically, when God and the devil agree, what they're agreeing on is that the guy is insane and lost his mind. But it's really talking more about the internal dialogue going on in his head. I don't know if you've ever known people who are bipolar is the term, but bipolar is a lot of times you're sort of hearing voices in your head and you're hearing this sort of internal dialogue questioning your every move and telling you, no, don't do that and do this and do that. And you're kind of always arguing with yourself in your head. And so when God and the devil agree is sort of about that dialogue that's going on in your head when you're constantly agreeing and disagreeing with yourself. But it's also, you know, it's also coming from the point of view of a manic depressive who's sort of looking at the world saying, well, if there's one thing that God and the devil can agree upon, it's that I am fucked up.
In the space between our visions has grown a grassy knoll. A single-minded Judas with a heart of black and coal. Across 1,000 miles, he destroyed 1,000,000 smiles. But what's a man to do when he does only one thing well?
Songs there, including Porn Leader, is also a song about the pressure that he was dealing with his parents. Porn Leader is another one that's talking about his childhood. It's basically the pressure that his parents were putting on him to be a success when he was real young. So there's all these songs that sort of deal with his childhood. Preach, his parents were very religious, so that deals with the religious aspect and like the religion that was being pushed on him.
Take a look at my itty bitty baby. Gonna be the leader of the free world. Maybe a doctor or a lawyer. Thank the Lord that we didn't have a girl. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, I'm telling you now, that boy's gonna make his mom somehow. I'm telling you now, that boy, he's gonna go so far. A poor leader, a poor leader.
And then it kind of, you know, so we tell this sort of childhood story that's his background, and then we cut to high school when he's, you know, Geek Like Me, and also Rock and Roll Fade Away is him kind of realizing that he wants to be in a rock and roll band, and that maybe a good way to escape his troubles is to join a rock band and go hit the road and kind of put all his personal shit behind him and just, you know, rock out and have fun. And it's Rock and Roll Fade Away, and December in a Day is about, you know, that now he's on the road and he's drinking and time's just flying and he's not having to deal with his problems. So it's like he's living a whole month in a day sometimes. And so he, all these songs are sort of telling his story up until when he gets up, when he hooks up with the band. And that's when, you know, he's hit the road with us, and Rock and Roll Fade Away, December in a Day are all about, like, rocking on the road. On My Way is another one. Kind of comes to a boil with Destination Zero, which is the big fight that we have in the parking lot. That song, Destination Zero, is actually almost word for word the argument that he and I had in the parking lot. You'll notice there's lines in there about Frankie, and that's him talking about me, but from his point of view. He's talking about, you know, he's basically yelling at me and having this argument with me. And it, I mean, every line in Destination Zero is verbatim pretty much what we yelled about in the parking lot.
Spell zero.
Is the moment that when he locked himself in the bathroom and was trying to kill himself, and we were trying to get in there and sort of crucified as kind of the mind state that he was in when he was drifting off and considering, you know, leaving the planet.
I wait. Rippled by the currents. My face to indicate my years, my years. It's taking me a lifetime. We'll be right back.
And then Kiss Me Twice Goodnight is when we sent him home on the plane. Put me on an airplane, all that stuff. So, I mean, the whole album essentially tells this story of this kid that, you know, kind of grows up and has all these problems that he decides not to deal with by being in a rock band and kind of joining the circus. And then we sort of meet the guy and everything goes to hell.
But, you know, when you began to tell me the story, I hesitate to know the real story because for me, I have another feeling when I don't know the story. It was musically the most important thing. And mm-hmm. I have the sensation that you tried many kind of music in this album too.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, I do feel like there's a unity in the album, but it's definitely much more musically diverse than anything else we've done, and that was pretty much on purpose. I mean, part of it was that we did have a story to tell, and the story wasn't all about one emotion. It was telling all these different emotions over a period of time, so we felt like to capture that the best, it would work best if the songs really took you on kind of a journey. And, you know, you go up and you go down and you get sad and then you get happy and then you get angry. And, you know, we really wanted to explore all of these different avenues. The funny part is that, you know, that was the last studio album we made. The band took a break for about 2-3 years and then have since done a few reunion shows. Now our original bass player, Dino, he is back in the band. We worked things out with him. He stopped drinking. He's a joy to be around. We have an absolute blast together. And so now all these years later, we've gotten back together for a few shows, and we haven't played one single song off Gainesville. It's all the old songs, and it's all fast rock and roll. So here we made this big point to prove to the world that we're these more serious songwriters and could do all this musically diverse stuff. And then by the time the band gets back together, we've abandoned that and just gone back to playing really fast rock and roll. So, you know.
No, I found, anyway, that it's important to show that. I love a lot of songs in this album, too. I was waiting for this interview before to play Gainesville on my podcast.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a funny thing because on one hand, that record, it's probably the only very personal album that the Streetwalkin' Cheat has ever made. I mean, all of our other albums in terms of the songwriting, you know, are very kind of, we write a lot of like fuck you punk rock songs and a lot of, kind of just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, you know, we were very much into just having a good time and writing these songs that were very fun and rebellious and sort of these little punk rock anthems. Gainesville is like the opposite. Gainesville, there's almost no songs that were written with that in mind. It's all about telling a story and about revealing emotional, personal things that we were going through, so that we could get them out of our system, because this was all stuff that was very much on our mind and bothering us, and we were upset. These were all friends of ours that we were going through these heavy, heavy events with. So a lot of it was us, was Art and I, just wanting to get this stuff out of our system, off our chest, so we could just kind of move on with our lives, you know. So I really enjoy the record, and it's every time I listen to it, I get this flood, this flash of emotions, you know. It's a very heavy album for us, at least.
I told you I live the same story with friend. I told you I wrote to you, I think.
That I have a friend who has such a maniac depression, and we have to call the hospital, and to call the people to take her. And it was the same story. She took a lot of medicament and she drank a lot, and we were afraid that she dies in the night. And I think when you have to leave that, it's crazy to
see. That's the thing about songwriting and just telling stories in general, is no matter how personal something seems to you, other people have gone through it. And, here we are writing this album about stuff that seems so specific to our lives. But the reality is you have your own stories that are, like that. And most people do, it doesn't have to be that exact story, but, you can touch on subjects that are sort of universal to people's lives. And most people have had friends that, or themselves have gone through really heavy emotional times, be it drug and alcohol related or mental illnesses or diseases. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can sort of ravage your lives and put a strain on friendships. So even though this stuff seemed so individual to us when we were writing it, I've met a lot of people who said, God, I've listened to this record and it like really strikes a chord with me because I went through some stuff just like that. It's a fun thing about songwriting. You can touch people like that. But it also goes to show you that no matter where you are in the world, there's a lot of fucked up people out there.
No, I think to speak about the madness is a very special subject, because people say always crazy, she's crazy, he's crazy. But when you see really the madness in front of you, it's another problem, because you can sell to yourself, I can be crazy like that. The limit between to be crazy or not crazy is very fragile.
Absolutely. From what you're telling me, you think you know what crazy behavior is until you see someone who's actually crazy, and then you go, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. Because I've had a lot of experience in my life. I've known a lot of wacky people. Oh, this person's crazy, that person's crazy. No. That's not crazy. When you see someone who's actually going through like a mental episode or is actually having like, madness at that particular moment, you all of a sudden you realize you've never known what crazy is, and you're looking at it right now straight in the face. And it's very different and it's very scary than anything else you've ever gone through. That's the way I felt. I thought I'd seen it all. But when I saw, a really good friend of mine, really like, it's like a light switch went off. And he just became a different person. I stared right into the eyes of somebody I thought I knew, but all of a sudden I didn't know him at all. That's madness. That's crazy. And it's not just funny crazy. Oh, he's being crazy. No. We got to get this guy to a hospital right now. Mm-hmm. Different. It's different and it's scary. I mean, the good thing about it in our situation is that our friend did end up getting help. And he did end up back on his medication, and he met the girl that I call Good Morning when I call her from Gainesville. He ended up marrying her, and they're very happy. And he definitely turned his life around. And I think maybe even going through the episode he did with the band and us making such a big deal out of it, the fact that we sent him home from the tour instead of soldiering on, the fact that we called his parents and called his girlfriend and made a big episode about it. I think that was one of the things that helped him realize, like, I got a real problem that I got to cope with here. I can't keep ignoring this. So I'm not saying that we saved him or anything, but there is a happy ending to the story, which is our friend did seek help and has really turned his life around. So that's a great thing for him.
But now, Frank, after this very serious episode, I need a song. Ah! I want you on the guitar.
Let's see. Hold on. Maybe I can pull out. Let's see. Hold on. I'm gonna hook you up here. But I have
yes.
my little girl's guitar.
Yes.
I bought an acoustic guitar for my 2.5-year-old. I can sing you a few notes on that. Let me see, hold on. Ooh, it's out of tune now.
All right, Annie, this one's for you.
But you must repeat again the last sentence now, because this is too weak. What you say about the Melting Pot Radio?
I said melting. You're listening to Melting Pot Radio, the most rockin' podcasts in the world.
Yes.
That works, right?
Yes. Very, very nice. The only problem is you are a little far away when I
say... Now I'm too far?
You are too far away in Los Angeles.
Oh. Exactly. Well, you know, I'll take the next plane out and
yes.
come see you tonight. I'll do a little private performance, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. When will you take the plane? Tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, why not? Hey, you know what? Actually, I'll tell you this. The video game theater thing we're doing, the TV show we're doing, is for MTV Italy. And I think it is in the works that next year we're going to fly out to Europe to do some promotion and press and stuff for it. So you never know, I might just be out there.
Yes, because Italy is very near from Marseille, you know.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
See? Hmm.
And then I can have this song live.
Exactly.
But you take a risk when you sing this song live beside me.
Well, maybe I will, you know, what I'll have to do is I'll have to get a pickup band in Marseille, and then I'll just come out to Marseille and have some of your local boys back me up, and we'll do a gig.
Yes, no problem.
There we go, see?
Yes, I can fund that for you.
Yes. I'll let you know, and you can make it happen.
Yes, you take your guitar?
Yeah, I'll bring my guitar, some of my songs, we'll rock and roll.
And I will find you a punk rock band in Marseille.
Exactly. Wow, yes. We did it all. We did it all this time, Annie.
Yes.
We left no stone unturned. I will tell you this. We, you guys are into the MySpace thing there, but there's MySpace sites for the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs, Video Game Theater, Frank Meyer. And you can go to myspace.com/Frank Meyer or the Streetwalking Cheetahs or Sweet Justice. And then you can go to thestreetwalkingcheetahs.com and you can see Video Game Theater at videogametheater.com. And then my other band, Sweet Justice, has a website at sweetjusticetheband.com. So you can visit me on the web and, you know, get to know me cyberly.
I want to thank you now, Frank. It was very a pleasure for me. I'm very
no problem. Thank you. It was super fun. We'll have to do another one, and I am going to try to get out there to Europe sometime. I think next year for the TV thing, and also, you know, it is not at all impossible that the Cheetahs would come out there for some gigs. And I think we really love going to Europe, and we've talked about doing it again. The last couple times we went, we did these really long, you know, 6-8 week long tours. I think this time we would just come out and do like Spain for a week, and then France for a week, and just kind of keep it short and sweet. But we really loved it out there, and we had a great time in Marseille. So hopefully I will see you again very soon. Cool. Well, thanks so much, Annie. We'll talk again real soon.
Yes. Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Bye, Melting Pod.
Bye, Frank. Bye, Los Angeles. Bye-bye. Ciao.
See you later. Bye.
Every song I played in this podcast come from Gainesville, the Streetwalking Cheetahs' last studio album, until now, because I hope, like you, they will find their way to the studio again, particularly the way to tour France again. You can tell them and write comments on www.meltingpod.com. Bye, tschüss, au revoir, à la prochaine fois, et restez connectés, stay connected.
You're listening to Melting Pod Radio, the most rockin' podcast in the world.